Can you see me if I come here? Okay. I'm not that short, eh? Well, it's so good to be here, and this morning I had a delightful time. I like preaching, you know, I'm a preacher more than a teacher, but this morning I didn't preach or teach. I kind of just waffled around and just chatted, because we feel so at home here. We feel like this is home from home. We feel like we're in City Church International Hong Kong when we're with you guys, because there's a synergy, there's a resonance. And I don't believe harmonics is superior to theology, but I believe true harmonics within the triunity produced sound theology. Now you think, well, no, he's really getting weird now. But in Ephesians 1, it speaks about the word in accord, in accordance, with in accordance. So that is three chords in perfect harmony, and in accordance with his good pleasure, and it goes in accordance with this, in accordance. That's how God saw you before the foundation of the world. In him, blameless and holy in his sight. So there was a sound, the resonance of the triunity had one accord about this church and the purpose for this church. The Trinity was in one accord for the purpose of your life. And that one accord is a resonance, it's a sound. And when that sound manifests in a local church, this church has a particular resonance that is unique to this church that you won't find in any other church. And we have a resonance in our church. And I want to tell you, it's similar to the resonance in this church. And that's because there's a sense of togetherness. There's a journey that we're traveling together. And this is my vision, that one day in the country of South Africa, we'll have over 1,000 churches on a journey together in the same direction to spread this wonderful gospel of grace right across the nation of South Africa. But far more than that, that's too small a vision. In the good old days when we were part of NCMI, we were taught that God wants to bless all nations and that his heart is for all nations. And I believe that I have a vision, I have a dream, that there will be a coordination and a collaboration together to see nations one strategically with the gospel of the kingdom, the good news as a sign to all nations, and then the end will come. And I believe that Steve and Janet are going to Kazakhstan is part of that partnership, and you all went with them, and we were with them in heart, and they affected many, many different nations. And Steve is not exaggerating. There are men and women there that have lost their children for the gospel. They have stood tall, they have stood strong. I live in mainland, well, I live in China. I'm in Hong Kong, which is the administration of mainland China. And mainland China has been very oppressive on the church and has persecuted and punished and done horrific things. But mainland China is beginning to become more aware that Christianity is needed in mainland China and that they're opening up more and more and becoming more lenient and open to the church. But in these Central Asian nations that Steve and Janet have just been to, the oppression is far worse today than it is in mainland China. The KGB operates. They're brutal. They're cruel. They beat Christians up. They said to this pastor and his wife, if you don't stop preaching this gospel, we'll kill your children. They said, we know if we threaten your life, you'll carry on preaching because you're willing to die for this Jesus. But it's your children we'll go for. And they threw the one son into a power station and he was electrocuted. And beat the daughter up to the point of nearly the end of her life. And these are the people, it's such an honor to meet them. They'll never be on the front cover of Charisma magazine or Who's Who in the Charismatic Zoo. These are not people that will be heralded as heroes today, but I promise you, on that day, these people will be heralded as heroes. So I don't know about your theology, but I do believe the New Testament preaches and teaches all over the place that the Christian church is not the civil service. You don't get rewarded if you don't make a profit. Now, the kingdom of heaven does reward people, and you can lay up treasures in heaven. And what we do in this life never earns or deserves salvation, and we never earn or deserve anything. But as we respond in faith to the call of God, we are laying up treasures for heaven. This life is a brief burp in eternity, and this planet Earth is a parenthesis between eternities. And I want to tell you, this life is over before you know it. And people that are caught up and captured by the trends and the wisdom of this age are just simply foolish, and Paul calls them foolish. And so, I was talking about harmonies. Let's get back to beautiful stuff. Let's get back to music and beautiful stuff. But I have a vision. I have a heart to not live in reaction to abuses in the past and denominational mindsets. Because friends, no one's got it perfect in the past, and none of us are going to get it perfect in the future. But I want to tell you, we can't throw away scripture just because some people have messed up in the past. I've messed up, you've messed up, and for goodness sake, let's give grace to our past so we can go into our future without a victim mindset about the things of our past. See, you just can't throw away a whole lot of scripture just because someone messed it up, because you messed it up, and I messed it up, and others messed it up, and we're so conscious of people abused us, but what about the ones we abused? And I think an overemphasis on inner healing produces a victim mindset and forces people to perpetuate their victim mindset and endless need for inner healing and chronic problems that I was rejected and hurt and abused. Well, friends, the cross of Jesus Christ is so powerful. And when you meet people who've been under the grace message for 10 years and have still got a victim mindset and need inner healing, I say you never were exposed to the tangibles of living, powerful grace that raised Jesus from the dead. And He can change our lives and lift the fears of abuse and future rejection off us. Amen. Otherwise, our past perpetuates itself into the future of a constant fear of being rejected. Let me make a prophecy just so you have no doubt about it. You will be rejected in your past. You will be persecuted, and you will be dishonored and betrayed and misunderstood and celebrated, for greater glory is on the heads of those who suffer for His name. Can you say amen? And so there's a resonance, there's a sound that produces a unity in the vibrancies and the frequencies of God. There's an empathetic, sympathetic resonance together that unites us to serve the living Christ for all our time on this earth, so that when we finish our last days, we look back on an inheritance, and we look back at footprints in the sand of human history, and we look forward to a legacy that we've left behind for generations to come. Can you say amen? Amen. So I want to talk fairly briefly, or hopefully very briefly, tonight, about two wisdoms and two faiths. And they both open you to very different worlds. And I want to be brief because there's such a temptation to spend hours and hours on teaching on this, because I believe these two wisdoms are something God is really defining very clearly to those who've got an ear to hear, all right? But let me make a quick disclaimer before I go any further, because I can't qualify everything I'm saying, because I'm not teaching tonight, I'm not preaching, I'm just waffling and chatting to family, all right? Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm just chatting to family here. And so, and Steve can correct, and the elders here can correct all they can qualify the things I don't have time to qualify tonight. Is that okay? Is that good? But let me just qualify in one area. I don't believe the grace of God makes us passive people. I believe that we rest from our own works, even as God rested from His works, but we work harder than people who are not in grace. We work harder than people under the law. We give more generously. It is a shock to me that people are tithing under the law, then they get free from the law and come into grace, they become less generous. What does that say about grace? God is such a generous giver, and in churches that understand this, the giving doubles, the giving triples. And so I think when we get greater understanding of grace, we're going to be pouring our lives out. Paul says, I worked harder than all the other apostles, but not I, but the grace of God in me, for I am what I am by the grace of God. And the Bible says in Ephesians 2 verse 10, that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works that He prepared in advance for us to walk in. So these are resting from our works, but there isn't a passivity, and there isn't an apathetic, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. And I want to tell you that the New Testament uses words that are not popular today. It uses words like strive, struggle, press, contend, etc., etc. And the word there is agonismio. The Greek word is agonismio. And it's not striving in the flesh, and it's not striving from insecurity. It's not striving out of selfish ambition to prove yourself. It is a striving in the Holy Spirit to finish this race properly and to present yourself and others mature in Christ. For instance, it says in Philippians 1, Paul writes and he says, contend as one man for this gospel. The Greek there is run together in unity, contend as one man for this gospel. Later on in Philippians 3, he says, let us press to the mark of the high call. So there is a contending, there is a pressing, New Testament words. Colossians chapter 1, verse 28 and 29. Are you following me? Am I going too fast? Okay. Colossians 1, verse 28 and 29. Paul says, so I struggle. Oh, that's not popular today. I just want to cool and chill. Yes, there's a place of rest, but from rest, you strive, agonismo, in the Spirit to win this race. Well, we've already won. We've got the fullness of Christ. We've been made complete in Christ. We're already seated in heavenly places. Beautiful, beautiful truth. But is it manifest? Is it being experiential? Is it being administrated through our lives? So Paul says in Colossians 1, 28 and 29, he says, I struggle and I strive with all the energy of God that works so powerfully in me to present every man mature in Christ. I don't know about you, but I tell you, there's a striving and a struggle in South Africa to see this message reach the nations and spread across South Africa. It's just a reality that it's not the passive people that are going to see this gospel made manifest. In fact, amazingly, in some kind of bizarre apparent contradiction, Paul says in Hebrews 4 verse 12, he says, therefore, he says, strive to enter his rest. Agonismo, to enter his rest. And then that's verse 12. Verse 13, 14, and 15 tells us how to strive to enter the rest. And he says, make sure, and he says in Hebrews 4 from verse 1 and 2, he says, be fearful. Now, nowhere in the Bible does the New Testament say we should be fearful. But in Hebrews 4 verse 1 and 2, Paul says, be very careful or be fearful that you fall short of the promises. And then he goes on and he says, so strive to enter his rest. And he tells you, so I'm not going to go into that whole thing right now. But in Colossians 4, he says, my fellow worker, Colossians, he is striving continually for you to stay in all the will of God. God said to me a few weeks ago, if all the intercessors on the planet stopped striving for the church to stay in the will of God, overnight, millions of Christians would lose their direction and just get drift into all kinds of distractions and trivia. Friends, there is a striving in grace, but it's not in the flesh out of insecurity. It is in the power of the energy of God that works so powerfully to present people mature in Christ. Now, mature just means consistent. Mature means loyal. Mature means faithful. Mature means accurate. Mature means I can see you this year, and in 5 years' time, you are going on consistently with Jesus Christ. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Maturity is to see the value of the local church, that the local church is the place from which the kingdom is administrated. The local church is the basis by which the kingdom extends into nations. You know, just going into nations, you can't take a nation by just bombing from the air. Eventually, troops have got to go in and occupy and set up and bring a change into the very culture of that nation. Local churches are those bases from which we operate. Can you say amen? All right. Are you with me? Rob, I don't like this. I thought we didn't strive. Yes, we don't strive in the flesh. But I want to tell you, there's times that I have to agonismo. There's times I don't want to do things, and I don't feel like doing things, and I don't feel like praying, and I don't feel like reading my Bible, and I don't feel like sharing the love of God, and I don't feel like being polite, and I don't feel like being nice. But I have to strive in the Spirit, in the energy of God. And that's, I want to talk about the two faiths tonight and the two wisdoms, okay? All right, here we go. I want to say to you today that there's a paranoia in grace, in many grace places, that anything that sounds like, oh, that's striving, or that requires discipline, or requires commitment, that requires this, oh, that's the law, that's control. Friends, that's paranoia to react to everything of the New Testament exhortations, imperatives, and appeals to walk this the life of the kingdom. Once you've got the foundation of grace, that you're perfect forever, that there is no condemnation, that you're secure and accepted perfectly in the Beloved, and that's clear in your minds, then on that foundation, you can set off to strive in the Spirit to see the fullness of God operate through your life and through this local church. Now, if 1 Corinthians chapter 2, not getting a lot of amens and a lot of accolades. Anyway, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, it says this: the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Now, I'd like to just quote a whole lot of scriptures rather than read them. I just want to read a few, but I'm not going to read all of them. So it's got Gadya, the little G, Satan, the God of this world, called Satan, has blinded the minds of them that believe not. So I want you to see the God of this age or the God of this world. What is the God of this age? That's from the fall of first Adam and up to, I believe, the time of the cross. We lost Adam. Jesus Christ won the victory back and won relationship back with God. So there's a God of this age. It's a temporary age. And it's an age that began with a counterfeit wisdom. When Satan came, the god of this world, came to Adam and Eve, or first to Eve, and showed her the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the Bible says she desired it for wisdom. So there is a wisdom that is in there's a wisdom through the knowledge of good and evil. It's a wisdom of earning and deserving the blessing of God. You've got to earn it and deserve it. Now, in James chapter 3, James talks about two wisdoms. He says, there is the wisdom of this world, and there is the wisdom from above, the wisdom of God. And he says, the wisdom of this world will produce every manner of evil. He speaks about selfish ambition. He speaks about disorder. See, the kingdom is a kingdom of divine order. There's a government of peace. There's a way the church is governed. There's a way the kingdom, this is the kingdom of God. It has a king, and it has a benevolent government, and it has divine order. And when divine order is in operation, then you see the prosperity of the kingdom in the earth. But the wisdom from this world, which is from the God of this world, which is from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that wisdom is a corrupted wisdom. James writes and he says it brings disorder, it brings selfish ambition, it speaks about every kind of evil. Because friends, when you're in the wisdom of this world, you are striving in the flesh, not in the spirit. You are trying to earn and deserve. You're trying to get your sense of personhood and integrity and sense of identity from what you do, what you achieve, what you accomplish by keeping standards and keeping laws. And that makes people very insecure. And insecure people are very dangerous, because they react out of the insecurity and they become full of selfish ambitions, driven by ego, driven by unfaithfulness, driven by self-promotion to get what they want. Now, James goes on and he says, but the wisdom from above is peace-loving, is impartial, is sincere, is submissive. Very unpopular word again today. It's submissive, the wisdom from God. It's submissive peacemakers who sow in peace and reap harvests of righteousness. So there are two wisdoms. Let's try and define them, because I don't want that yucky stuff, man. I don't want the selfish ambitions. Now, I want to tell you that James seems to indicate that Christians can operate in both. That sometimes you'll hear a Christian speaking with the wisdom of God, and there's a peace and a government of peace, and you just sense this blessing of God. And then the next minute, they're speaking with selfish ambition, insecurity, self-promotion. That's two different wisdoms that have to operate by two different faith systems. All right, you're listening really well. Keep listening, because I don't want to teach too much. I want to talk the foundation of the Holy Spirit I laid this morning. I want to spend a little bit of time with you just doing a little workshop of entering into His presence more and more. So I'm just trying to lay a foundation here. Anyway, so let's have a look at 2 Corinthians. And 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. I hope I haven't confused you now. Okay. We know these verses well, but I think Paul was a very... I think he was a great communicator. Some said, he's not good speaking, but I think he was a great communicator. So eloquence and elaborate speech, it does not mean that you're operating by the wrong wisdom. But Paul is making a point here that we'll clarify in the context. But 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. Just stop there. Now, this is fascinating. Paul speaking about, I came to you with weakness and with fear and much trembling. Not a little bit of trembling. I don't know what much trembling looks like, but he came with much trembling. And I used to just think, well, Paul was a shy guy. You know, maybe Paul had, you know, had such an encounter with God that it just knocked the stuffing out of him and he was very insecure or shy or whatever. I don't know. But when you actually see what he's in trembling about, it makes me want to tremble to ever step up to a pulpit and preach. Because this is what he's afraid of, that his preaching will produce faith in a wrong wisdom. That for me is stunning. That everyone who speaks and preaches and every believer that shares the gospel should be in fear and trembling that the results of our preaching produce faith in the power of God, not in the wisdom of man. Because the wisdom of man is the wisdom of this age, the wisdom of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It is satanic, it is evil, it brings disorder, it agitates against the resonance and the sound of the kingdom of God. It's in disorder. That's why Paul writes to Titus and he says, I left you in Crete to set in order. Set in order or make straight the things that are unfinished. Appoint elders, for many are rebellious, he writes. So you need elders that are gracious fathers and mothers in the house that keep the house in the resonance and the order of the wisdom from above. Because I promise you, the supernaturals of God without the divine order of God will go weird. And I believe that God is creating a foundation for divine order that the supernaturals of God can go to exponential, unlimited demonstrations of power. How many of you want to see more resurrections from the dead, much more blind eyes open, much more deaf ears? Yeah, well, that needs a foundation of divine order. Because if you have all those kind of miracles on a wrong foundation of the wrong wisdom, you're in serious trouble. It will... Paul writes to the Corinthians and he says, your meetings do more harm than good. And so, you know, the grace revolution isn't just a free-for-all for anarchy and chaos and selfish independence, friends. I want to tell you, it's as a Christian, I could stand you, and if I get insecure, I could start speaking by a different wisdom. And I've heard men and women speak. And I think, is that the same man or the same woman I heard speak last week or last year or some year? Now that, and then they that's why James 1 speaks about don't be double-minded. Because double-minded people are moving from faith in the wisdom of man, then faith in the power of God. And we need to be single-minded people that can discern what the wisdom of God is. Because the wisdom of God produces humility, teachableness, sincerity, peacemakers who sow in peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. Amen. I don't want to see the grace message just bless Christians. I want to see multitudes of lost people saved. I want to see the government of South Africa, the culture of the nation affected by this message. I want to see inventions and science improve because of the reformation and of the grace revolution. Amen. And he says, yeah, what did I say? Oh, he says, much fear and trembling. Let's see why he was. Was he fearing that men would reject him? Was he fearing that they wouldn't give him a big financial honorarium? Was he fearing that they wouldn't think he was a great speaker? No, this is what he was in much trembling about. Verse 5. I was in much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. Now let's find out quickly what men's wisdom is, or what the wisdom of this age is, or the wisdom of this world that produces selfish ambition, insecurity, evil, and poor. James says it's devilish. He used the word, it is devilish in James 3, the wisdom from this world. Why? This thing of Paul was so afraid that his preaching could produce faith in the wisdom of man rather than faith in the power of God. You see, there are two kinds of faith. Amen? Amen. There's no such thing as non-belief. There's only unbelief. There's no such thing as non-belief. People believe in something. Unbelief is not non-belief. Unbelief is belief in something else that's contrary to the Word of God. You get that? All right? These things are important. for us to strive accurately, to press towards a mark in the Spirit, to present people mature in Christ, we need to have accurate discernment about these two wisdoms. Otherwise, we could build ropes of sand in our life. All our works and efforts in the wrong wisdom could produce something that looks great and impressive to man, but when the fire test of 1 Corinthians 3 comes, it is not gold or silver or that which lasts on into eternity as a reward, but it is simply wood, hay, and stubble. And I'd rather let the fire come and burn wood, hay, and stubble out of me now so that it doesn't have to do it up there. I don't know what some Christians think, that they're just going to live independently and selfishly with selfish ambitions, float around from one wisdom to the next, and just get up to heaven and go, cool, man, no one gets the reward. It's just all I will tell you, that is not Bible. We want to operate in two wisdoms. Now, this shouldn't make you all unhappy and miserable and condemned. This should make you very excited. Okay, let's see what the wisdom of man is. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 17. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. So the cross can be emptied of its power if I use human wisdom. All right, what is human wisdom? Human wisdom is not being a big intellectual. Human wisdom is not having elaborate vocabulary. Otherwise, everyone that loves the English language or Putonghua or Chinese or Afrikaans and develop their vocabulary are just idiots operating the wisdom of this world. No. The wisdom of this world is something that empties the cross of its power. If you listen to Charles Haddon Spurgeon preach, most English-speaking societies today wouldn't have a clue what he was saying because his language was so elaborate because they didn't have computers in those days and they didn't have Singlish or Globish or abbreviated English and simplistic English. They loved the language expands your consciousness. If you've got the words to find to describe something, it expands your consciousness. So having elaborate language is not the wisdom of this world. Elaborate language doesn't empty the cross of its power. The wisdom of man empties the cross of its power. It's not being clever as a scientist that empties the cross of its power. It's not being an intellectual that empties the cross of its power. It's a wisdom of this world, of this age, of Satan himself. That's what empties the cross of its power. And if the cross has been emptied of its power, then soteria, salvation, is not manifesting and demonstrating the power of the kingdom at the level the cross was made manifest for. People go, well, why aren't we seeing more? Why don't we see more? Well, I tell you what, the cross is emptied of its power through human wisdom. And then, so let's read on a little bit there. See, Rob, this is like a little bit deep for Sunday night. It's just, no, come on now, this is all fun. Verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. If you've got people relying on human wisdom, I'm telling you, they're getting more and more frustrated today. Christians who are relying on human wisdom are getting extremely frustrated. Verse 20. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. And then verse 24. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom. And the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Now we could go on and on. I've got to stop being tempted. But friends, he's coming down to precisely tell us what the wisdom of this world is and what the wisdom of God is. So let's look down there in verse, let's quickly just go to verse 30. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boast in the Lord. So he's saying that Christ is our wisdom, and then he defines the wisdom of Christ is that we are in him righteous, redeemed, and holy. That is the wisdom of God. All right, have you got that? So what would the wisdom of this world be? Earn and deserve your righteousness. earn and deserve the blessings, work and put out effort to get the favor of God. Okay, so now let's look at 1 Corinthians 2, and just go on there, and then he says, he said, let's just read verse 5, verse 6. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. They're coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age, principalities and powers, including their surrogates like Pontius Pilate, etc., none of the rulers of this age understood it. Say understood. That's very important. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. I mean, someone has said, I don't know who his name, I think it's Graham Cook, he said, if Satan knew the secret wisdom of God in the cross, he would have killed any demon trying to crucify Jesus. Because the secret wisdom of the cross was God's ambush against the wisdom of this world and the wisdom of this age. And so he goes on and he says, anyway, but look down. Okay, we're speaking of the wisdom of this world and the wisdom of God. Okay, look at verse 12. It sums it up. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God. Why? That the Spirit is from God, that we may understand what God has, say with me, freely given to us. You see, the spirit of this world, the wisdom of this age, will tell you nothing comes from heaven for free. You earn and deserve and you achieve. And you sweat by the sweat of your brow in the cursed earth system and you try your best to please God and earn and deserve. But that's the wisdom of this age. But the wisdom of God, the Spirit is from God, helps us to understand what God has freely given to us. So anytime you hear any preaching that says, yes, there is grace, but you have still got to do some things to earn and deserve, that is the wisdom of this world that's emptying the cross of its power. That is the wisdom of Satan. That is the wisdom of this earth and of this age that is going to pass away at the return of Jesus. Now I want to ask you, there's nothing malicious at all here. Do you think every pulpit around the world is free of preaching the wisdom of this world? Is it an innocent thing just to get up and preach the wisdom of this age? To speak from the spirit of this world empties the cross of its power? Even though it sounds so theological and you take scripture out of context, Satan quoted scriptures to Jesus. And you can take the word of God and you can take it out of context and put condemnation and law on believers, and you think that you've done a good job because you've motivated them out of the wrong wisdom and you have put them on a trail of pride, selfish ambition, envy, jealousy, and insecurity. And people like that look very secure and they're driven to have great lives and great ministries and we applaud them. But friends, on that day, in the fire test, they will be saved as one passing through fire, but their works will be burnt up. Now, I don't know about you, but that I live conscious of that reality every single day of my life. When I'm working in Hong Kong, when I'm working around the world, I'm standing here. My question is, Rob, what wisdom are you speaking by? Do you know that you will be accountable for what you speak tonight? Hebrews 13 verse 17 says, submit to your leaders and submit to the authority so that it will be a joy for them, for they must give an account for your souls. It is an accountability that some in the grace movement have lost. And it's not talking about whether you get to heaven or not. That's a guarantee, man. Heaven's not my goal. It's my absolute guarantee. It's yours if you're in Christ. But do I fulfill my destiny? Do I fulfill what God saw before the foundation of the world? There's a choice that I make. Am I going to be single-minded or double-minded about these two wisdoms? Now, I've been around long enough to see Christians clap, shout, scream at conferences, yeah, all the way, Jesus! But when the wisdom of this world is more appealing because it's so beguiling and seductive, it's satanic. I've watched Christians go down that road and suddenly they're in this works trip and this legalism and sophistication and self-promotion and pride, and it's all, I don't know, friends, I don't know how to say it. Let me say it though, because I think we need to learn how to smell in the kingdom. Because sometimes everything seems right on the outside, but there's just something, I don't know, there's a wrong resonance here. It all seems clean and squeaky pure and looks sophisticated and looks successful. Oh, I can smell Haggai, yeah. Bit of Ishmael there. Yeah, it's got a bit of Ishmael. Ishmael's armpits don't smell good. And we laugh, and we should laugh, but I tell you what. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors need to teach this more clearly. Because there are so many believers. They hear the grace message, and then they hear another wisdom. And that makes them feel belittled and intimidated and frightened. That, oh, maybe, you know, this freely and everything's free. Maybe I'm being silly. No. That's God's wisdom. That you're in Christ. You're righteous. You're holy. You're redeemed. Now on that foundation, in the spirit, agonismo, strive to enter his rest. Strive to, hey, be an intercessor, man. Pray in the spirit. Pray. In some places, why do we need to pray? We've got it all already in the Christ. Friends, all the cross did was position us and gave us an inheritance. But your faith in your prayer and your striving in intercession. Do you know that intercession is not ever for you? You don't have to intercede for yourself. You ask God and he gives, okay? But intercession is praying for others. And why does intercession take striving sometimes and heartburn and heartache? And it seems Paul speaks about wrestling. He actually used that word in Colossians 4. So-and-so, my co-labor, is wrestling for you in prayer that you would stay true to all the will of God. Wrestling in prayer. Why do we have to wrestle in prayer? Do we have to wrestle things out of God's hand? No. He's already given them in Christ. But there's a demonic realm that tries to hold people back. So intercession is praying for others to get their eyes of their hearts open, get revelation, and get wisdom. This morning, in early hours, I was praying for this church and began to intercede and praying, and I went into some travail and deeper intercession and deep groans that cannot be uttered in my normal human language, that is in the spirit, friends. And I picked up things straight away about God's love for this church. And I picked up some of the lies of the evil one that would try to unsettle you, whatever. But friends, we all are called to be intercessors. Intercession is not a gifted ministry for some elite group. Every believer is called to pray in tongues, pray in the spirit, pray for their leaders, pray for the church, pray over the destiny, protect the divine order, keep the church flowing in divine order, be on your guard against disorder and agitation and people that undermine. Everyone, keep divine order, keep resonance with the spirit of God, and divine order will bring the church into great fruitfulness. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So that's why Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3, he said, hey, man, there's a veil that covers their minds and their hearts when the old covenant is read. They just come under that law. And Christ made the law redundant. He made the old covenant totally obsolete. It's gone. And when God's canceled something and you keep preaching what God's canceled, the Holy Spirit doesn't come over it. Another spirit comes on it called the wisdom of this world. And then a veil comes over people's hearts and minds until they turn to the Lord, and then the veil is taken away. And he says, verse 17, and the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. What freedom? Yes, it's freedom to jump and clap and all of that, and I agree with and celebrate all of that, but that's not the context. The context is to be free from the veil of the wisdom of this world, of the spirit of this world that says you've got to earn and deserve. The spirit is from God, helps us to understand that God has given us everything freely. Amen. That his wisdom is Christ. Amen. Amen. So we've got to understand what we're free from and how to walk in that wisdom. Amen.
Amen.
Why don't you just lift your hand and say, oh Father, I thank you for your wisdom. That Christ is my wisdom. Cross is your was your secret wisdom for my glory before time began. But now your cross has put on display the powers and authorities in open display that they've been disarmed and triumphed over. Ha, at the cross. The cross is no longer hidden secret wisdom. It is now manifest openly in the spirit realm. And Father, we pray for this wonderful church to move more and more and more into the deeper realms of the clarity of the wisdom of God and defining the difference between the two wisdoms and the two types of faith. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, to come even now and show us that the veil has been taken away and that the veil was split from top to bottom and we have access into those realms of the glory of God. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Can we put this guitar and this mic on you? Is that okay? Why don't you stand together? I'm not going to lead in worship. I'm just going to... Thanks. If it can, I'll keep this one. Thanks, James. Shame, James, you gave up your preaching slot tonight, man. I appreciate it.
That's so hard to do.
Next Sunday night. No. We've got a little bit of time just to numbers of you in this room, you know the address of the Holy Spirit. And I guarantee someone helped you find that address because they found that address and then they move in the Spirit and release the supernaturals and then they helped you to find that address. Once you find that address, no one ever has to help you back. Then you know how to get into that realm of His presence. Some of you are going to find His address tonight so that you can, any time you want, just lift your hand and say, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit, come. You know, it's the Holy Spirit that will keep you in the wisdom of God. He guides into all truth. It's the Spirit of God who's from God that helps you to understand the things God has freely given. If you stay out of fellowship with the Holy Spirit for too long, there's some other spirit, the spirit of this world, that starts trying to come and hunt you as like a predator and take you over to the wrong wisdom. And that wrong wisdom is so clever. It's so cunning. But once you can discern its smell, it can't take you very easy. So I wrote this song a little while ago. Don't listen for music perfection because there's none. This song's of grace, okay? Just close your eyes. Sorry, that sounded very authoritarian. Close your eyes. I just felt embarrassed. Your presence comes, I can hardly breathe. Feel your breath on my face. Hear the words of your grace, healing me with your love. Touching me from above, you fill me with awe, you fill me with awe, you've cancelled the law, there is no guilt. Taken it away, the veil has been torn in two, the cross has taken it away. Thank you tonight. We live in such a time on the planet, the climax and consummation of the ages, that there's never been a greater time to be faithful to the gospel of grace, to be faithful to Jesus Christ. Father, we stand in the midst of an unfaithful generation. And we thank you that you've called the church to shine like stars in a corrupted generation. We thank you that Peter's preaching on the day of Pentecost, calling Israel to repentance, was save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And Lord, in the past, we've always interpreted that as just referring to sinful behavior. But we understand today that we are to be saved from a corrupted wisdom, from a counterfeit wisdom, the wisdom of this world. We want to move into a faithfulness to the wisdom from above. Father, we understand that a faith in the wisdom of man is unbelief in the power of God. We thank you that faith in the power of God is unbelief in the wisdom of man. And we pray tonight, Holy Spirit, you as the establishing witness in our midst, Spirit of the Lord, who is the Spirit of freedom, would anoint us to be a faithful people in the faithfulness of our God. No matter what it takes, no matter what persecution, no matter how we misunderstood, that we will model and substantiate a message of truth, of your wisdom. For we declare over the city of Pantan and over the highway area, this gospel, the kingdom will prevail. We declare that the wisdom of man, according to the word of God's promise, is coming to nothing. It is being frustrated. Haggai is being exposed. The successful fleshy strivings of men in the name of religion, mixing two wisdoms together, mixing law and grace, that is being dealt with by the divine order of God, breaking in to the highway area, breaking in to KwaZulu-Natal, breaking into South Africa, and breaking through South Africa into the nations of the earth. In Jesus' name. Just stand in his presence there just a little while longer. Thank you, Lord. I just sense that the divine order of God deepening. I believe this house is in divine order, but I just sense the divine order deepening. I just sense the precious, tender kindness of the Holy Spirit just even bringing even more alignment. God knows in Hong Kong, in our church there, we need increased divine order. We need more alignment. And I strive in the Spirit every day of my life. While I'm in South Africa, I'm striving in intercession and prayer for that precious church back in Hong Kong. But I strive for many, many, many multiple dozens of churches in many different nations of the earth. Simultaneously, I do carry the concern of those churches, and I can't help it. And I don't want to avoid it. I want that. And Father, tonight we want to thank you that there is in the anointing, a yoke-destroying, burden-removing power. There is a rest from our works as you rested from your works. But we do thank you that there is a striving in the Spirit. There are disciplines of grace. I just sense in this core here tonight, and I know there are others that are part of the core that are not here, but I just sense in this core, God is, there's a transaction. It's that, I don't know how to say it better, harmonics is what I believe produced the theology, the harmonics of God. I believe that my preaching and my teaching and my chatting tonight, I don't think was 100% clear as I'd like it to be. But nonetheless, I believe there are harmonics in the Spirit that have been transacted. There's a one accord in the Holy Spirit. If I have 10 pianos, and I had to tune them to one another, it would be hard work. lofting one piano next to the next one and one by one tuning them to each other. But if you've got one tuning fork and you tune all 10 pianos to the same tuning fork, all 10 pianos are automatically in tune with one another. And so there is a resonance, there are harmonics in God that are, for me, what unites us in the vibrancy of God. You can feel when someone's just not in resonance, they're just not on that same page, they're always just something. I believe God is setting deeper divine order in this house. Just one more time, just lift your hands and say, Lord, not just for me, but that this house would go to the next level and the next level and the next level. Yeah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. For the wisdom from above, divine wisdom. You know, there's like a holy, sanctified soberness that comes that some people are afraid of. I want to tell you that holy, sanctified soberness, where Peter says, be sober-minded, because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeing he may devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. Hey, Peter says, be sober-minded. But it's not morbid, and it's not mourning. It's to have a sound mind. It's to have a mind that is renewed by truth and understands the wisdom of God. And so I believe that sober-mindedness leads into unprecedented joy and happiness and states of bliss and ecstasy and joy. But I think if people don't have a foundation of a sober mind, so often that bliss and joy can be just so empty eventually. Now, I believe God is calling churches to have traction, to get momentum and impetus, to see increasing numbers of lost people getting saved and society being transformed. So let's just lift our hands, just one more time. Say, Holy Spirit, set this in tonight in a supernatural, apostolic wisdom into the very foundations, that soberness may produce unprecedented joy, laughter, happiness, bliss in this house, Lord. Relax people, happy together. Lord, the way we felt it this morning and tonight, just such a sense of community and belonging to a journey together. Lord, I thank you for that in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I tell you, there's such faith in this house for the right wisdom, for the power of God. Let's just take one of his hands, if you don't mind. And I just want to release blessing, all right? I can't be responsible for what happens now, all right? Who's ready on a foundation of soberness to just get so blasted with the blessing? Yeah, I mean, if you're ready for that. Okay, close your eyes, or you keep your eyes open if you want. Holy Spirit, we want to thank you that every time we give you opportunity to move, you move. And you touch us with the dynamics of the kingdom. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that the kingdom is in you. Thank you, the kingdom is not a matter of food or drink, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Thank you, the whole of the kingdom is in you, Holy Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, man. It's freedom from the fear of the wisdom of this age, freedom from the fear of condemnation, freedom from the fear of eloquent, persuasive speaking that drives us back into that wisdom of the flesh and striving and man's pride. Lord, thank you tonight that I decree and declare that all fear of falling into the wrong wisdom is broken off any person in this house in Jesus' name. That there are no veils over hearts and minds, but the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is liberty, there is emancipation, there is empowerment in Jesus' name. So we loose that anointing right now, right now. right now, right now, right now. Jesus' name. That's it. That's it. Many of you plugged in. Fire. It's your fire fall, Lord. Fire. It's your fire. 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 Glory. Glory. Let the glory come. The glory come. The glory come. Many get confused because ministry of condemnation brings glory. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 8, if the ministry that brings condemnation comes with glory, fading though it is, how much greater is the glory that brings the ministry of the gift of righteousness. So Lord, we thank you that no fading glory in this house, no condemnation in this house, there hasn't been for many years. We release the unfading glory. We release the glory of the wisdom of God. Right now, not only on these wonderful people here tonight, but across this whole congregation and the thousands that are yet to join this church. We release the multiplication anointing. We release the spirit of liberty. We release the spirit of freedom in Jesus' name. We release the spirit of fruitfulness. We release the spirit of inheritance. We release the spirit of possessing inheritance. We release the empowering of God in Jesus' name. No gimmicks and no tricks and no clever tactics. Just the goodness of God, the gospel of grace, the wisdom of God, not the wisdom of man, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. That's the anointing, just coming more, 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 more. Every false burden lifted, every false responsibility lifted, every spirit of unrealistic expectation on ourselves broken in Jesus' name. We declare false burdens, false responsibilities, false expectations, false ministry. We break it off our lives. We remove the Spirit of God, remove the veil in any form or fashion of our hearts and minds. Let us see, Lord God, into the realms of the glory in Jesus' name, that in our hearts shines the glory that is in the face of Jesus Christ. Lord, we do not seek your face. Your face is seeking us. Your favor is seeking us. Your blessings are seeking us. Your glory is seeking us. Out of the fullness of your grace, one blessing after another is overtaking us and coming on us through the obedience of the one man, Jesus Christ. We declare your wisdom, your wisdom, your wisdom over this church in Jesus' name. We declare by the authority we have proclaimed over this house that wherever the wisdom of this age is trying to sneak in or try to infiltrate by those that come with their craftiness, we declare this day it is nullified. This day it is frustrated. This day that false wisdom is broken in Jesus' name. We declare this house goes on in greater realms of the wisdom of God. God, in Jesus' name. Oh, mangriasum riman angriator getiliar. You can let one another's hands go by now. They must be getting sweaty. Just stay there a few more minutes. Just stay there. Holy Spirit's moving here. Holy Spirit's moving here. Holy Spirit's moving here. Ha mangroste bremenendi damasanti yasi. Don't worry about them. They're having a wonderful time. Some people just trigger easier than others. But God's touching everyone in this house here tonight. Spirit of liberty. Yes, 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 yes. Fire of God. I just believe God is just transacting something right now in the Spirit, just preceding the Glory and Grace Conference. We're going to see a revelation flow. Like I said this morning, I believe with integrity this is going to be the greatest Glory and Grace Conference we've ever had anywhere in the world. With Finney and Izzy and Glenn and myself and hostage here, it's not about numbers. I don't care if there's 10 people, 100 people, or hundreds of people. It's about a DNA. It's about a release of a culture, a release of the divine order of God that can proliferate quickly when divine order is established. So friends, I just want you to something's been transacted. If you sense the presence of God establishing, you're not hoping to feel Him, you're not hoping to sense Him, the tangible of God is on you right now. You can feel His presence on you right now. It's an effect on you. It's like divine voltage, all right? Quickly just come and stand down the front. Just quickly come. This is to release, not on them, on you and on this coming week, all right? So just come quickly and stand in the front. You're just shoulder to shoulder. Just quickly come. It's nearly half. Just stand in a line. Or make it a 6-foot gap between the front line and the second line. Some of the men that are still sober, just come and help me. This is not hoping to feel His presence. This is you already feel His presence. And if you don't feel His presence, don't feel bad. Doesn't make you a bad Christian. God's going to touch you. I want you to see yourselves. I don't know how to explain this. I don't even have the time. I want you to see yourselves as lightning rods. I want you to see yourself as conductors of heavenly voltage. That you're not just here for yourself. You're standing in proxy for many people that are going to be here this coming week. That as you transact in the Spirit like a lightning rod, there's only one mediator between man and God. That's the man Christ Jesus. So we're not mediators, but we are transacting like lightning rods and conductors and anointing into this conference. Some of you are going to feel intercession come on you tonight that you will not be able to find rest from until somewhere tomorrow or the next day. You're going to, from your belly with gushings of deep groanings and intercession and prayer for this Glory and Grace Conference, praying for divine order, praying for divine power, manifestation of the wisdom of God in a whole new level in this Glory and Grace. And I'm just releasing you and commissioning you now, if I may do, as intercessors for God in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So that you'll strive in the Spirit, your agonismo in the Spirit, not in the flesh. All right, Lord, I release that anointing now in Jesus' name. Fire, 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 fire. Semane sombra mendo roshi cambrindere Thank you, Jesus. Shama Bramorusta Bremendi. That's it. Jesus' name. Fire. Jesus' name. Lord, release that anointing. Release that spirit of liberty. Release that lightning conductor transaction now in Jesus' name. Release the spirit of intercession and prayer, even for this coming week, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for every one of these people that turned out tonight. Thank you, they didn't realize they're going to be ambushed to become activated intercessors. Activated, Louis. Activated intercessor, even as you are and have prayed and interceded for years and decades, the spirit of intercession comes upon you in a fresh touch tonight in Jesus' name. Groans of intercession, but good groans. Even the pain of identifying with other people's pain, even that pain in the intercession of identifying with other people's pain, keeping on in intercession, striving in intercession until the release, until peace comes, breakthrough comes, the release comes. Even now we release that anointing of intercession in Jesus' name. Prophetic intercession on this house, on every one of these precious people. You are now conscripted into God's intercessory army for glory and grace over the next 2 to 3 days in Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. More, Lord. More. Fire. Fire, Lord. Fire. Fire, Lord. Fire in Jesus' name. Some of the elders, Steve, is this okay? Some of the elders just come lay hands on people. Some of the elders look dumakar, you know? But a lekker dumakar. Release that anointing, Lord. More, 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 more. Where's Jimmy? Where's Jimmy? Hey, Jimmy, just lift your hands. Just say, my name's Jimmy. I'll take what you give me. Father, just bless Jimmy with double portion, double power, double anointing, freedom, prophetic release, intercessory release, supernatural administration by the anointing of the victory of the cross, of the victory of the cross. The victory of the cross is not to be just an historical fact. It is to be an administrated reality into 2012. 2012, divine order, 12, divine order, 12, divine order. The cross is an historical fact, but that's all it is until intercessors begin to pray in the Spirit and administrate the victory of the cross into the city, into the nations, into the power of God, the power of God. Now, more, 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 more. Jesus' name. Sambra mando rosa bremendo roco riandi. Just hear this, and I'm nearly finished. I want to say that again, just in case one or two people didn't understand this. The reason for passivity is bad theology. Some people think that just because Jesus was crucified, that's it, it's all done. It is, it's finished at the cross. But all it will remain is an historical fact until the church rises up and administrates the victory of the cross through the intercession of the Holy Spirit. We do not try to come against the devil for the victory. We administrate the victory of the cross through the administration of intercession. But I promise you, the New Testament is full of urges for the church to intercede, to pray over and over again. But there are teachings coming out on this planet that are saying, no, you don't need to. It's all done already at the cross. It was done already at the cross. But someone has to administrate, because we are the establishing witness on the earth. We are the church. And it is our intercession that administrates the cross. It's not just preaching, friends. You can preach till you're blue in the face and no revelation and victory will flow. You can pray till you're blue in the face and no revelation or victory will flow. You have to pray and release the victory of the cross. Then you have to preach into that breakthrough that prayer produced. We are having a glory and grace, not just for a little fun weekend or a couple of days. We're here to change and bring divine order into the highway area. We're here to release the power of God. So let's just come and let's just pray just for a minute. Just begin to pray in your prayer language. Just pray. Just pray right now. I release that anointing of intercession. I just lift your hands one more time. Precious Holy Spirit. Precious, precious Holy Spirit. Father, we want to thank you. You have not given us the spirit of this world. You have not given us the spirit of fear, but you have given us the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. And you have given us a spirit that is from you, God. God, the Holy Spirit, that gives us understanding on the things that have been freely given to us. Father, we pray for the release of the freely given flow of supernatural intercession on this house in Jesus' name. The freedom of the flow of the spirit of freedom to pray in a spirit of victory and to pray in a spirit of triumph. The administrations of God. We do not ask for ourselves tonight, Father. We ask and stand in proxy on others' behalf, for the sake of the highway area, for the sake of KZN, for the sake of South Africa, for the sake of nations like Kazakhstan and Afghanistan and Kazakhstan and all these stuns, that you would give us the nations, oh God, that you would give us the nations as our inheritance, Father. We do not want just a blessing. We want the nations as our inheritance. For our righteousness is by faith, not by the law. So we are the seed of Abraham and we are heirs of the world, Father, in Jesus' name. We release the blessing for many nations. Freely given in intercession. We take our minds of our own needs and all of our needs. We thank you that all our needs are met in the glory that is in Christ Jesus. But we think of the lost. We think of them who have not yet received forgiveness. We think of them that are strangers to the covenant of grace and outside that covenant of grace, who are still under the power of the prince of this air, the spirit of disobedience that works in them. Lord, we pray that they would no longer be objects of wrath, but we pray, God, that your great love and mercy that already won them at the cross would be administrated by convicting power into multitudes across KwaZulu-Natal in Jesus' name, through the intercession of the believers that are in Christ Jesus.